so that you could walk in.
And I thank you for these things in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
We heard in manifestations that God wants us to walk, and He's given us everything that we need. We heard about God's great love. We heard that we're to look to Jesus Christ, that He will pull us through life. Anything that you need or that you go through in life, you don't want to try to go through it alone. Right? It's really stupid, but it's also, it's selfish. If someone did all these things for us, why would we turn our back on Him? See? I want to talk to you this morning about being changed for Christ. Changed for Christ. There was a man who was born in the early part of the 1900s. His name was William Clement Stone. William Clement Stone. He was born in Chicago, Illinois, on May 4th, 1902. His father died in 1905, leaving his family in tremendous debt. In 1908, he hawked newspapers on the south side of Chicago while his mother worked as a dressmaker. He sold newspapers. That's what they did back then. 1915, he owned his own newsstand. And in 1918, he moved to Detroit to sell casualty insurance with his mother. Stone dropped out of high school to sell life insurance full-time. He received a diploma from the YMCA. He took courses at Detroit College of Law and Northwestern University then. There's a book if you want to learn about this guy. It's called The Success That Never Fails. It contains his autobiography. And in that book, he tells of his early business life, where he started to sell newspapers in a restaurant. The normal was to sell them on the street corners, but he got the idea, I'm going to go into the restaurants and I'm going to sell them in the restaurants. It was a departure from the typical practice of boys selling newspapers on the street corner. And at first, he had problems with the restaurant managers. They tried to discourage him. But gradually, he won them over by his politeness, by his charm, and by his persistence. And most of the restaurant patrons didn't disagree with having a newspaper brought to their table if they wanted to buy one. From there, he graduated into selling insurance policies to downtown business offices. His mother managed his new career. Stone ran hundreds into millions. And with his strong desire to succeed and putting into practice the principles outlined in his well-known self-help book, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Stone was a living example of the proverbial rags to riches. Eventually, Stone began to give. He became what was called an angel to others, lifting them from the gutters to the height of success. One of his greatest success stories was Og Mandino. He was an alcoholic who Stone took under his wing. This led Mandino to a new life, who then became the publisher of Success Magazine. In 1978, Stone met an aggressive young security broker named Christopher Nolan, and he recruited him as his director of education for entrepreneur forums. He would go around the country, and young men and young women who were interested in business would go to these meetings, and they would learn from him. He wanted to aspire and educate young, aspiring business owners in Chicago. He wanted to make the world a better place. In 1919, Stone built the Combined Insurance Company of America, which provided both accidental and health insurance coverage. By 1930, he had over 1,000 agents across the United States working for him. By 1979, the insurance company exceeded $1 billion in assets. It then combined, merged with a later Ryan Insurance Company to Aon Insurance Company in 1987. Spun off and became ACE, and they in 2008 had a total assets of over $2.5 billion. Stone would contribute large amounts of money to politics and politicians. He once contributed in excess of $10 million to Richard Nixon's campaign. Well, in the last interview before his death, Stone explained the importance of what he called PMA. That was a positive mental attitude. He said a positive mental attitude is necessary for achieving worthwhile success. We in America know what that is for us, for we have inherited the tenets of the Judeo-Christian faith on which our constitution, laws, and customs have been based. Strive to understand and apply the golden rule. These are some of the things he would teach at these classes he taught. Believe that any goal that doesn't violate the laws of God and the rights of your fellow men can be achieved. You may not know William Clement Stone. However, you probably know one of his favorite phrases. He used to say, "You are a product of your environment." He went on to say, "Choose your environment that will best help develop you towards your objective. Analyze your life in terms of its environment. Are the things around you helping you towards your success? Or are the things around you holding you back?" Stone changed his life because he refused to accept failure. And he's a great success story. But some people are not of the alpha variety. They're born that way. Stone happened to be. He happened to be a go-getter. He happened to be the kind of person that would never accept no. He happened to be the mover and the shaker of that time. And he didn't let his circumstances around him hold him down, but he rose above them. That has a lot to do with genetics. It has a lot to do with personality. It has a lot to do with who you are on the inside. Not all people are born like that. That's why there's chocolate and vanilla ice cream. People are different. People have different tastes, different abilities. There's nothing wrong with that. If you're not an alpha individual, you probably won't become a CEO of a Fortune 500 company, because that's the kind of individuals it takes to have that type of drive. But not everybody has to be a CEO of a Fortune 500 company either. When we receive Jesus Christ, He changes our life for us. See, Stone changed his own life by the principles that he operated. But when anybody receives Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ changes your life for you. See? Stone relied on his ability, his prowess, his drive, a lot of these things. And there's nothing wrong with that. But see, what happens if you don't have ability? What happens if you don't have prowess? What happens if you don't have drive? Jesus Christ took care of that problem. Because of all men who have ever lived, there has never been a greater man than Jesus Christ. We heard about him this morning in song. He had drive. He had commitment. He had values. He had ability. And he went to the cross and carried that heavy burden for you. And then he gave you the greatest gift that could ever be given. And that was of his life. And he changed your life in doing that. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. You sometimes you can get discouraged and say, oh, look at him. He owns a business. Or look at him. He's got a doctor's degree. Or look at her. She's got so and such and such and such. That's just the world. That's just things in the world. And maybe you'll never be a doctor, Charles. Dr. Moe, Dr. Curly, Dr. Howard. The only doctors we'll be. But that doesn't mean you can't succeed and be great, because you are great. Because the greatest man who ever walked the face of the earth and whoever lives to make continual intercession for you made you great. So it's got nothing to do with your ability. It's got nothing to do with your thinker. It's got nothing to do with your ability, with your hands. See? It's got everything to do with your heart and your mind lining up with the Word of God and receiving the Lord and walking out. You only should have one Lord. See? It shouldn't be finances. It shouldn't be your environment. It should be Jesus Christ. And when you make him Lord, then you can accomplish anything in life. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, therefore, if a man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become what? The creature from the Black Lagoon has passed away, and you have become a new what?
Creature.
Good-looking creature. Two. You're new. He made you new. See, that's what I'm telling you. He did this for you. It's not something you have to do. It's not some school that you have to go to. It's not some place that you have to obtain in life. He did this for you. He made you new. You understand? He made you new. I did order a new battery, so pay no mind to that beeper in the closet. Verizon, you gotta love them. This means he leveled the field of life. You understand? You don't have to come from millions and millions of dollars and go to Berkeley or Brown to be successful. Where only certain segments of life open up to those types of individuals because they have the pedigree or credentials. See? He leveled all that. And he gave you of himself. He gave you everything that he is. He gave you his wisdom. He gave you his love. He gave you his abilities. He gave you his mercy. He gave you his forgiveness. He gave you everything that you could succeed. See? And if you're looking to continue to look at yourself, you're going to greatly limit where you're going to go in life. But if you look at him and depend on what he has done for you and take rest in what he has done for you, then he can take you to the top of the world because he's at the top of the world. And spiritually, it's already done. It says that you're seated where? In the heavenlies. We heard that today too. That's what he did for you. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Stone was born inside with a lot of abilities that had to be manifested and had to be nurtured, and they came out that none of us will ever have. Just like some of the great brain surgeons and great surgeons of this day and time. They were born with some of those abilities that some of us will never have and never obtain to. You know? That's okay. But when it came to the spiritual application of life and the spiritual things of life, nobody has more Christ in them than anybody else. It was only one size fits all. You do not have more Christ in you, you don't, then Jonathan, and then Sandy, nobody does. He leveled the field of life. And Colossians says in verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You got as much Christ in you. It's when you accept him as your Lord, you believe God raised him from the dead, you confess him as your Lord, you got as much Christ in you. This little guy here, he's the youngest, Noah. He got as much Christ in you as the oldest. As the oldest one who comes to this fellowship. And conveniently, they played hooky today, so I couldn't use the Gerharts for an example. Taking their name in vain. But he's got as much Christ in him as the oldest saint in the world. Isn't that great?
Yep.
But see, if we don't think of these things, we don't think on these things, we're going to think on something else. And anything else than these things that we think on was second rate. I don't care what it is. It's second rate. It's not the best. And you won't be able to live in light of who you are and what God has done in his son for you. Look at 2 Corinthians, please. Because we have Christ in us, we have been seated in the heavenlies, and we have been able to live a victorious life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Did I say 7? Chapter 5. Look at verse 7. It says, for we walk by faith and not by sight, or not by sight. Now, according to this verse, how many ways can we walk?
Two.
Can walk at least two ways, right? And that is means to me that if you can walk two ways, that there's a choice that has to be made. Because you can choose to walk by sight, or you can choose to walk by faith. One is the old way. One is the new way. One walk is the natural walk. One walk is the spiritual walk. One walk is man's way. One walk is God's way. One walk is based on man's wisdom. The other is based on God's wisdom. One walk is based on sight. The other is based on faith. To walk by faith is to be persuaded by God in both mind and heart. That's the faith part. The walking part is when we believe God's revelation given to us, and our life's deeds and actions reflect his will. And we must be careful not to confuse the walking in faith with the faith itself. Faith is God's part. Walking in it is our part. There's two parts there. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, please. Verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should what?
Walk.
God wants us to do good works. But you won't do good works thinking the old thoughts. See, we're changed. We have a decision to make. Do we think the new way or do we think the old way? The New Living of Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us a long time ago. So we can do the good things he planned for us a long time ago. It says that he called you before the foundation, singular, of the world. Right? It says that in Ephesians. This verse tells us that he's planned for us to do good things a long time ago. Are you doing what God has planned for you to do? Are you allowing God to be involved in your life? And are you following his will for your life? You have to ask yourself that question. He's made a plan for you. And he works with you and he'll work in you and he has equipped you. But he wants you to do good works. I don't know what those good works are. For me, I have to move ahead and do what I believe, what the good works that he wants me to do. See? But I will tell you this. The world will stand in opposition to those good works that God wants you to do. And the reason why I read to you a little bit about Stone was he said that you're a product of your environment. And I told you the other night that your environment should be a product of you. It should reflect you. The reason that it's a different day and a different time in 2018 is because the world and the God of this world, who is the devil, has been working overtime to desensitize and harden the hearts of our younger generation. He's told the younger generation that God is not real, that God has no integrity, that God is a liar, that any God will work, that it doesn't have to be Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth and the light. And when you speak to young people today, they're hostile against God. Most college campuses today, if you name the name of Jesus Christ, they want to throw you off. And why? Because that man loved people, he healed people, he fed people, he raised people from the dead. What is he guilty of to gain this type of response from our youth? But I don't blame our youth. You know who I blame? I blame the idiots that sit in teaching seats across the country that teach them that junk. Because our youth goes in there and they look up to these people. I blame that generation. I lay the blame of not teaching the children at the feet of the parents, at the home. That's who to blame. A child has a right to decide, but a child has to have options. And if a child is not presented with those options, how's it going to decide? Peer pressure. You're going to be what they want you to be. If you're going to be what they want you to be and do what they want you to do, you're going to be a sad puppy all your life. The big salmon swim upstream. Mm-hmm. See? You have to be your own person. Be your own person in Christ. Be what he wants you to be. And you don't have to be a stone. There's another side to the story. Thank you again, Miss Sandy. This little ditty says, the fella who does things that count doesn't usually stop to count them. For more than a quarter of a century, Arnold Billy was a rural mail carrier in none other than southern New Jersey. His daily route took him 63 miles through two counties and five municipalities. Mr. Billy, as he was affectionately known, did more than deliver mail. He provided personal service. Anything a person might need to purchase from the post office, for instance, Mr. Billy provided. You need stamps? I'll get them for you. You need a money order? I'll pick it up. You need me to pick up something for you? I'll do that too. All a customer needed to do was leave the flag up in their own mailbox and put a little note in that mailbox, and Mr. Billy would help him out the best he could. One elderly woman had trouble starting her lawnmower. So whenever she wanted to use the lawnmower, she would simply leave a note in her mailbox, raise the flag, and when Mr. Billy came by, he'd start it for her. Mr. Billy gave a new definition to the phrase public servant. True Christians rarely think of themselves as doing anything other than the ordinary. When what they do actually is quite extraordinary. The Apostle Paul called himself a slave to Christ, yet he was more concerned about being a good servant to ever worry about being a real slave. Why? Because true servants are motivated by love. It is love that they know that they have received from the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is that love that they give. So you got one guy whose assets went over $2.5 billion and blessed people, and you got another guy that probably made $40,000, $50,000 a year as a mail carrier. But what did he do? He blessed people. He gave. He helped people out. See? And there's no reason why we can't do the same. Because Christ has changed us. He's made us who he is. He's given us all of those things. So why not live in light of that? Why not walk in light of that? Why not live your life with the mind of Christ? The I can do mine. I can do all things through Christ. Look at John chapter 10. Verse 10, we heard this referenced earlier today also. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. There's, you have an enemy. There's a thief out there. And he's coming to steal the position of the one Lord in your life. Make no doubt about it. Do you love football more than you love Jesus Christ? Don't answer. Do you love hunting more than you love Jesus Christ? Do you love money more than you love Jesus Christ? Do you love whatever more than you love Jesus Christ? If you do, then he has succeeded in stealing away from you the position of number one that is only reserved and only achieved by the blood of Jesus Christ. He deserves that position. In other words, he earned it. Right? He earned it. Don't let someone steal it away from him. Don't do that. Remember who you are. Remember what God has given you. And then do in light of those things. Act in light of those things. We're going to close in Ephesians chapter 5. I want you to remember this too. Verse 8. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of what?
Light.
That's where you came from. And I want to tell you something. That darkness is always waiting for you with its arms open and the door open to receive you back. This is what you go back to. And I don't care what the devil does to make it look pretty or what the devil does to make it tempting or appealing. The only thing that you could possibly go back to is darkness. It could be darkness with lots of money. It could be darkness with lots of cars and lots of houses and everything else. But it's still darkness. Don't let the devil talk you out of what God has called you to do in this lifetime. Don't wake up and look in the mirror at 85, 90 years old and say, what have I done with my life? It's too late then. You are children of light. You have Christ inside of you. You have the ability to do wonderful, wonderful things. And it doesn't have to be a stone kind of a thing. It could be a mailman kind of a thing. But in God's eyes, they're wonderful. So whatever's stopping you or whatever endeavors to stop you, get rid of it. I can't get rid of it for you. You know,
as older people, we sit around sometimes and we talk and we wonder why we can't, why there's the enthusiasm not there, why this, why can't this, that, why? Well, you know, only God can work that change in a person's heart. All we can do is love people and encourage people and pray that God would work inside of people to call out ministers, to call out people who would rise up for him and take the word to the next generation. But we're not going to live forever. And we want people to have the advantage of being able to learn about Jesus Christ. And not just us, but every true, genuine church. That's a goal, one of their goals. If the Lord should tarry, be much better to go home with him, right? But we don't know that. We don't know that. So we have to prepare for the next generation. And we do that by doing good works, by doing things. So let's pray. Lord, thanks for your love. Thanks for how you watch over us. And thank you that you are at work today in this group of people and whoever hears this across the country, that you would convict their hearts, Father, with your love and call to service, and that they would answer the call. And thank you, Father, that Jesus Christ answered the call, and we're grateful for that, and that we can live our lives in gratitude and thankfulness for what he's did for us. And we thank you for this in his precious name. Amen. Amen. All right. Come on, Carmen. Thanks, Carmen.